I've got my hard help badge on because our home group is on duty. We're trying to get away from that word duty because it's not really a duty. This is a family. We're a radical family. And when we serve on a Sunday, as our my home group's doing, is we are hopefully going to host you well the same time that when I invite you to my home. You know, I sometimes joke, I say to Nikki, I'm definitely going to invite some high-end friends over because then my house will suddenly get amazingly tidy. Because we have a heart to host, we make sure we do it well, and we want to do it excellently. What's happening here is not a corporate meeting where we're sitting in rows. It facilitates, the microphone's just facilitating what God wants to do, but we're a radical family. And so we come here to serve and hear God to serve you in the most profound ways. As the Queen of Sheba came to see Solomon from all those miles away, she couldn't believe she'd heard the stories about how this king anointed by God served his people, how he administrated the kingdom of heaven on earth. Well, he was a billionaire, as I said last year, because of the administration of God on him. So when we come here and my home group's on duty, we are here full of the Spirit to serve you well, to invite you into a radical family. It's radical because we hear God. That's why we're not a country club. So this week, the leaders know that on the WhatsApp group on Friday morning, I was in my Bible reading plan. I had two meetings in Pretoria this week. And I was on my Bible reading plan, just waiting for my first meeting to arrive. And I was in Micah. And I came to the scripture that says, excuse me. On your feet, daughter of Zion, be threshed of chaff, be refined of dross. I'm remaking you into a people invincible, into God's juggernaut to crush the godless peoples. You'll bring their plunder as holy offerings to God, their wealth to the master of the earth. Micah 4:13. There's a word, I'm reading the Message version, Eugene Peterson, but I highlighted it and I sent it to the leaders because if you were here on our reveal service, God has downloaded this word juggernaut to me. And it's the definition of juggernaut is it's an irrepressible force, unstoppable force. And I feel like this vehicle of Citadel, which is owned by City Life, in other words, a PTY Limited owned by an NGO, in other words, the profits of the poor go to profits of the rich go to the poor, or the profits of business go and help rebuild things. And right in the middle is City Gate, the church, that this is a juggernaut. So this has been in my mind. Earlier this week, I sent the vision of the Citadel to the elders, and I said, I'm just stirred again that we should send this to our leaders or to our church. Probably 5 years back, I got a vision. I was asked to write it for a white paper for the Christian Economic Forum, which is great because God was using that for this moment. And then I'm blessed with some very talented people around me. And Christoph, even though he was out for the count this week, he got that email and he just, on his heart, did what he is so good at, and he refined it and he communicated that vision even better. And so this was in my inbox. So you might ask, well, what does that mean for your Friday morning? So I sit with Friday morning, my first meeting with a very big businessman in Pretoria. We've had a connection for many years. He's been inspired to give half of his business to God, and very much in light of, I don't know if you know Francois Fournier-Kirk, who owns the Mergen Foundation and Atterbury Properties. Francois, many years ago, gave 30% of his business to God. So how do you do that? He set up a trust, and he said, whatever profits, 30% of the dividends are going to God. Well, that business is a multi-billion rand business now. It's the most incredible experience. When you start to get real with what you do with your money, God starts to open up heaven. This guy in Pretoria has done a very similar thing. He's given 51%. And it's something that we've done with one of our businesses as well. So we've got this heart, we've had this testimony together, and we've shared. And I was just hooking up with him in Pretoria. At the end of that meeting, he said to me, he said, Mark, and really this meeting, we were shooting the stars by the end of it. Just, it's amazing, and I can't describe what that means. It just means that we're just on the same page. God's obviously connected us. We're thinking the same way. We were talking about the way the Jewish people think. We think about how he's doing Friday nights with his family and taking Saturday off. So many things dovetailing. But at the end of the meeting, he said, Mark, there's this property development man who wants to do kingdom land development. And he's got cash available for that. So I said, oh, interesting you say that, because the vision document's in my inbox here. Here it is. We can be your first one in Glenwood.
Sure.
I can't, you know, you can't put that stuff together. If I thought I was shooting the stars in that first meeting, well, I was taking over galaxies by the second meeting. Because a number of years ago, God dropped a business in Pretoria in my heart. And how, so you might ask, well, Mark, how does that happen? Well, I don't know. It's just like I heard the story about this American guy that had bought a business in, it's an agricultural business in Pretoria. They'd taken it off the stock exchange, and he had this, and I don't know. I hear about many things. I just remember that. And I'd had a conviction that I needed to meet up with one of the men in this business. And so I'd set up this meeting to go and see him, and really didn't have many expectations. I really didn't, because for a whole lot of reasons. So let me stop there in terms of that meeting and backtrack a little bit to just frame that meeting for you. I want to say to you, if you're sitting here today, and that God will never shame you when you take real steps of faith in integrity for his glory. I have experienced, and I think Jason said, I've experienced the shame that comes from losing my home, from parents that have been divorced, etc. I've experienced the shame that comes from that. And shame is something that God wants to deal with in this community, with all of us. And he'll take your shame and he'll say, well, I identify with it because I was also shamed on the cross. But 3 days later, I was resurrected. And that same resurrection life is available to you in the midst of your shame. But this is what I want to say. There's a difference, though, when we come with integrity before God and we stand before him with integrity. So we're not playing games. Say, Jesus, I'm sold out for you and I'm giving my plans to you. Now, I had two situations and a third and a fourth, and that's what God's doing even in Jason's story as well, where one of the colleague, one of the people, contemporaries, he's probably going to be in business with us. He sold his business for a whole lot of money. He's given his whole, everything he earned, he put into this agricultural business. His wife had an inheritance from her father in America for their children's education. They've taken that whole inheritance back out, and they put it into this business. And this business still isn't working. And every day saying, God, but we feel like you've spoken about this, but we've now lost all our inheritance. I spoke to her this week. They were putting their house on the market. We're going to put our house on the market now, and we're going to put it into this business. The guy that I went to meet in Pretoria with an agricultural business was a merchant banker through Africa. But if you think bankers are quite smart and are integrous because they wear ties and jackets, he will argue quite vehemently that they certainly aren't. That all they want to do is make money, and he said he was very good because he made a huge amount of money for them. But a lot of that was in diamonds and cigarettes and who knows what. Put it this way, he wasn't really socializing with the elite in town. He was with the mafia. And he started telling me his story, which I didn't expect him to tell in that morning on Friday. How he walked into church, tattoos, barefoot. His son had told him that he's getting baptized. So he said, well, I'll... And his son had asked him to come and witness his baptism. He walked into church saying, I'm going to give these Christians a piece of my mind. And he said, Mark, I don't know what happened, but I walked out there baptized. Now, you've got to understand, this guy stands there. He looks like one of those gorillas I saw in Uganda. He's got huge shoulders. He's very intimidating. And I'm sitting at the third floor of a corporate with 5,000 staff members that was on the stock exchange, being taken off the stock exchange because it's been led by a spirit-filled man who then phoned this guy because they were in the bank together. And so what happened is after the service, he went back and he said he started to partake in all the stuff he was partaking in, but he just couldn't do it anymore. And in that moment, what happened in that little week that followed is he lost everything. His cigarette business that he had with the bank somewhere lost that whole investment, his other investment, and literally he became penniless. And so for 3 years he said, okay, he got a little bit upset, as we can do. He said, God, I don't know what you've done to me, but I'm going straight to your word. So he read the word 33 times in 3 years through the whole word. At the end of that three-year process, this CEO gave him a call. He said, hey, I feel God's led me to speak to you. And he said, oh, funny, because actually me and God have been talking quite a lot, at which point that CEO almost fell off his chair because he knew what kind of man this was. He said, well, I've got this position. So this guy, this corporate, which is owned by two American families, who have, and I want to leave the names out of this because I don't think that's going to be helpful, who've got billions, who've funded the taking, you know, to take a business off a stock exchange, you've got to have billions of dollars. And God said to the CEO, I can't use this business when it's on the stock exchange. I need someone who can be obedient to me so I can use this business. So I need you to take it off the stock exchange and all the rigmarole that goes with that. This business is funded by two huge Christian families that want to take Africa for Jesus. Now, he's got a map of Africa, and they've got a plan to farm Africa. And this is not just like it's coming with proper resource. And so when I went back off that meeting, I phoned those two guys that have surrendered their house and everything. I said, I just want to let you know that I've just had a meeting that's going to change all of our lives, because what's going to happen is we've got a company that's more radical about Jesus than I am, that wants to take Jesus across Africa, and they want to plant Africa and farm Africa. And the couple just, the husband and wife happened to be having a meeting at the very time that I phoned, saying that they can't go any longer. And then she phoned me the day after. She said, you know, Mark, my dream was to be a missionary through Africa with my husband. I said, well, God's just about to make your dream happen. Sure. But you kind of had to lose everything. And I can tell you this, I walked out of that meeting saying, I didn't even know what had happened there. I mean, I couldn't believe that I could sit in a corporate office. I mean, we, you know, the corporates with all their stuff, with that kind of resource, with a man that honestly walks out of there praying so radical for Jesus that he wants signs, wonders, and miracles to follow the preaching of the gospel. He's more concerned about the preaching of the gospel than the fact that they're going to be farming the whole of Africa. Because he was a merchant banker, he says, any piece of Africa I've got available, any present of this whole continent, I know because of my previous work. He will use what you did before for his glory.
Sure.
And so when Jason tells a story like that, you've got to know that God's saying to us that each of us is part of a bigger story, way bigger than we can think or imagine. The problem is, are you going to put yourself out of the boat so that you allow the Heavenly Father to be able to start working with you like that? The thing is that both of the thing that marked all of these situations, circumstances, see, Jason had already decided he was going to give the money himself, even though he probably knew I didn't really have the cash. As he made the decision, so God said, don't worry, my boy, I know you need your cash. I'm just going to make this easy for you. I said to these guys, they had a vision to be missionaries in Africa. I said, listen, you see, the thing is, your idea of what a missionary in South Africa, through Africa, is nothing compared to God's idea. Yeah. And if you think we're going to do it in your resources, he's about to open resources far greater than you ever imagined.
Sure.
We keep on saying that we believe more than, he's going to give us more than we can think or imagine. But we actually got to start seeing that happen in our lives. And so if you're sitting here today and you have with integrity, and I really want to highlight that word integrity, it means that you take God at his word and don't try and play games with it. He is the creator of the universe, and one day you will meet with him and you will stand account. And as I said to that girl, I said, you know what? And this same guy said to me, Mark, it is amazing, but it's hard. It is sometimes very difficult. And so I'm not trying to say this is easy, but what I am trying to say is that you need to come before God in an authentic way and say, I do surrender all. Not sing it, do it. And what's going to happen is he will honor his word, which says, I will open up heaven above you. And you're going to sit and talk to Jesus one day, and you don't want to be strangers. Like I didn't know you. You're lukewarm. I'll spit you out. Like me and you, we actually haven't got a lot in common because you didn't sacrifice anything. Isaac, I gave it my life. This is the deal. We've got to get this right before we even go out and bring other people into it. Me, you, all of us have to be on the same page. We have to be surrendered. You're coming into a community. People are coming to a family where all of us are surrendered to Jesus, and all of us, like Jason and Emil, and all of us have a story that is wild. It's a Mark story that's wild. It's every single one of you. It's a story that you have to say, like Jason, he's weeping and he's got goosebumps everywhere. You cannot put that stuff together. I couldn't have put this morning together. Mm. This is not our plan for this morning, by the way. Mm. All the home group leaders we're going to be sharing. The word, one of the words God whispered in this week to me is opposition. Now, I came from the galaxies on Friday afternoon into Hell Zone on Friday night. One child, I thought we were doing so well. Everyone's sick here, and we were just, you know, anointed, appointed. We just the grace of God, you know, no sickness. I've got a child with mumps now. We've got to understand there's opposition. This guy told me, I don't understand how it works. I don't understand how the spiritual realm works. It's stuff there. It comes against us. This guy told me on Friday morning he had a mine in the Congo, a whole mine given to them to redeem that whole community with businesses, etc., etc. Amazing plan. Just as this was about to go, the government snatched that land away and expropriated it. We are in a war. So you got to understand. I asked myself this morning, like, why do I come to church? Why do we come to church? Like, you've got to have a good reason. You don't come to church because it's just the right thing to do and maybe there's a good preacher. You come to church firstly because Jesus has ordained it. It's through the manifold, he makes his manifold wisdom known to the world through the church. But I want to highlight this. Is that same war opposition is going to come and smoke you every time you start making a step towards Jesus. So we were going to talk about small groups, and Sean's going to tie it up now. But every time, I can tell you, let me help you. This is not prophetic. Before your small group, if you're leading one, you and your wife might have a fight. When you're starting to come into church, and you the guys, like I was, oh no, the guys say, no, like you need to join a small group. You think, yeah, but like the one guy, but I play action soccer on a Tuesday and I do this. And she, yes, the devil will find every single idolatrous thing for you to do so you don't go to a small group. He is going to make sure you do not come under the government of God. It's opposition. I don't know how it works, but I know from experience, like amening, Elizabeth and amening, this happens. If you've been long enough with walking with Jesus, you'll know that this is a fight. I want to say, and part of that fight, might I add, is that even as good as some of the TBNs of the world are, and as good as the internet is, and how to open up access for us to theoretically have access with everyone and be in relationship with everyone, there's nothing more authentic than what's happening here. You will never find this anywhere else in the world. Preaching the gospel in the Solomon's Colonnade, in line with that scripture, Solomon's Colonnade, in this context, is the most culturally neutral thing, as I said before, that we can partake in. We will never be in relationship with each other if it was left up to our own devices, because our pride and our prejudice would separate us. It is only the grace of the Holy Spirit that enables us to be put in an environment where we can love one another. And that is your inheritance. The size of your inheritance is not your money. It's not your cleverness. It's your ability to learn how to love. It's your ability to love that determines the size of your inheritance. Your inheritance is people. When we come back to this planet to rebuild it for God, because I think that's what we're going to do, is we're going to rebuild it. The only thing you'll be devastated about is that you didn't surrender to Jesus and actually get more people there with you. And that you'll have very little in common with Jesus because he is love if you don't love people. The way that happens is here. Because here in a church, by the grace of God, he pulls you sovereignly into this church. And I want to say, Stu, that that the Rose of Sharon for you is something of the sovereignty of God for you, and understanding that. That he pulls key people into a church so that you learn to love one another. And he'll bring people that are very different, that are older, younger. It is every age group, every ethnicity, every tribe and tongue will worship. The United Nations will never do it. So I want to hear you, because when that opposition comes on that Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever that small group time is that you meet, and when Sunday morning comes with all the other things that you can do, just know that there's nothing in the whole world that compares to this. You cannot do it. Okay? You cannot. You're coming into an environment ordained by Christ where every tribe and tongue is represented, and the only way that happens is by the grace of the Holy Spirit. Nobody else will ever do it. So next time you feel that you shouldn't be here, you're partnering with the enemy and you're allowing him to distract you from the call of God. These stories, once you've dealt with all those worthless idols, and I didn't watch the rugby yesterday, I mean, that was a huge idol of mine. I've canned that, and that doesn't mean we can't watch rugby. I'm just saying that Nikki and I have realized that our margins are very tight. If we're going to, the thing that gives me the most grace and the thing that'll give us the most grace is when you realize that you're walking in the hands of the living God. There's nothing that compares to that. Do you know what I mean? So that interaction that Jason had, when he went, how does that work? I just felt like I needed a biscuit. I walked downstairs, three men are there, they find us. How does that work? When that happens to you, there's nothing in the world that compares to that. Is that right, Jason? There's no business deal. When you realize that you are walking with this God that you can't see, but he's ordaining your steps, it blows your mind. And the problem with all the distractions of the world is that we never actually get the time to get in that space where God can work with us. And so Nikki and I realizing that if we are fighting opposition, that we have to plan, prepare, process, and produce. We need to be so disciplined with the way we operate, and we need to put walls around us, because a city without walls is like with no self-control, you get destroyed by an enemy who plays games with us. So the reason we discipline, the reason we stay in the scriptures, the reason we stay in worship, the reason we take God into every single aspect of what we do is because we're fighting a real war with an enemy who wants to stop him coming. Those iron doors that Moose is speaking about can only open up with discipline, with us laying hold of this in a very real way. We don't just like pray and think. It's like, God, what are you saying to me? How am I fashioning my family so that we can house the presence of the power of God? How can we start operating in signs, wonders, and miracles if there's no government in our lives? And so we are. We're never going to go here this morning. But you know, this is authentic. And God is going to, I want to say that he wants to do this with each of us. This is not my story. The only reason I'm cheerleading here is to inspire what's happened with Jason, what's happening with all of us in these different ways, what's happening with Toby and Rue. I mean, it's happening in order. It doesn't have to. It's like my story's got to be different to your story. But has your story got the hand of the living God? Because when that happens, we change everything. That's the focus. It's not about even any program or the only reason we put some kind of system in place because the body is a system. You know, so we need to be systematic because it's part of putting the disciplines in place. But it's completely organic as well. It's both and.